Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
This pile of rubble will be my masterpiece. I'm Kelly.
Want to know how safe your bridges are? We won't keep you in suspension very long. I'm Adam.
Take the Greyhound, they said. It's cheaper, they said. I'm Andy.
Redundancies are for sissies. This is America, dammit. My name's Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Welcome back, everyone. Today on Acid Pop, we're going to be talking about bridge disasters.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be, bridge friendships.
Bridges are for burning, Andy.
I've heard a different...
You're supposed to build bridges.
Then burn them.
So a Mothman can tell you when it's going to fall down.
Etymology of the word bridge comes from Old English brig.
It's Popeye.
Which basically means bridge. That's my best shot, the pronunciation. It is spelled B-R-Y-C-G.
What language is that?
Bridge?
Old English.
Bridge.
Helpfully, Wiktionary listed the pronunciation as B-R-Y-D-D number 3.
Oh!
Which is why it flowed so naturally when I said it.
Oh, Old English was such a beautiful language.
Listed the pronunciation as a vanity license plate.
So the root of the word disaster comes from Italian, from dis, meaning ill-fated, and astro, meaning star. So disaster means from ill-fated star. So it was your destiny to drop that cake on the bride.
Of course.
There is, in fact, a phobia of bridges. It is Jeffirophobia, which is not the fear of people named Jeff.
Is this a fear of all bridges or just being on bridges? Like, you're not going to see a picture of the Golden Gate and go, oh, God.
I couldn't say. Maybe make you sweat a little. But yeah, it's from the Greek gephura, meaning bridge.
It's the fear of bridges coming for you at the night.
Oh, no. You wake up and there's cars driving over you, but not on you.
So I'm not going to go into the science of bridges because we'd be here all day if I went into that. Lots of different types. Though I will say that it's my goal on this podcast to try and talk about things that people haven't so much talked about before. But should you be interested in bridges, I found a very excellent podcast called the Brady Haywood Podcast, where Sean Brady basically talks about engineering disasters that have happened throughout history. And it's very scientific, but it's presented in a way that's very understandable. So a lot of my references for this episode came from his podcast. So thanks to Sean Brady for his excellent podcast.
And thanks to Tom Brady for football.
Science of bridges. Mm-hmm. Got a hole? Put a board across it. There you go.
We win. We've conquered you, nature.
So for Acid Pop Quiz, we're going to start with fill in the blank. I'm going to just run through these really quick. So oldest bridge still in use. When was it first built?
2 CE.
That's an impressive bridge.
I'm going to say 100 CE.
Wow, you guys are more optimistic than me. I'm going to say 1600 CE.
Well, when you say build a bridge.
Like, you said still in use.
Yeah, yep.
I think you can build some pretty sturdy bridges.
You are correct, Adam. The oldest bridge is from 850 BC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bridge over the river Meles in Turkey.
Why?
There are some old Chinese bridges. I found several different bridges that claim to be the oldest bridge, but this is the oldest one by date that I found.
Well, they bought the plaque and they didn't want to not use it.
So, tallest bridge, how high do you think it is?
Does that mean like from bottom of bridge to top of bridge or from bridge to whatever's below it?
From bridge to whatever's below it. How far would you fall if you slipped and fell off this bridge?
1 mile.
2 miles.
Holy cow.
Half a mile.
Yeah, Kelly's getting close, but nobody went down quite far enough. It's 1,854 feet, which is roughly...
The guy who fell off the bridge went down far enough.
That's true. But that's roughly a third of a mile, or 565 meters. This is a bridge in Guizhou province in China.
Hopefully it's nice and wide.
Yeah, it's a pretty big bridge.
And why does it have to be so high up?
I think it's going from a mountain to another mountain, so...
It's easier than going down and around, I guess.
Yeah,
when I climb one mountain, I don't want to climb a whole nother one.
Well, there's one guy that lives at the top of the mountain, and he works on the other mountain.
He's like, God damn it, every day.
He commutes from one mountaintop to another.
Gotta invest in a paraglider. So, longest bridge, how long?
It is 2 miles.
Gonna pay off one
day. I'm gonna say 3 miles.
Oh.
12 miles.
Well, Kelly's the closest without going over. It is 102 miles.
This is too long for a bridge.
So that's 165 kilometers. This is the Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge.
Danyang?
Is this in China as well?
Yeah, this is also in China. A lot of the biggest bridges are in China.
China's really all about not changing elevations.
Thing about this bridge, though, while it is the longest, it's also super boring. It's a bridge for a train, and it goes across water. So it just basically looks like a rail that's held up by some posts every 20 feet or so. So not much to look at, but it is real long.
Monorail.
So now to get into some of the slightly more morbid facts. So in the U.S., one in how many bridges is considered structurally deficient?
One out of every four bridges.
That's what I was going to say.
25% of bridges.
That's a lot.
I'll say every eight bridges.
I'm going to say 10%.
10%? So one out of every 10?
Yes.
Andy got it. It's one out of every four.
Damn, I was going to say that.
There's no rule saying you couldn't.
Jeopardy rules.
So, yeah. Our bridges in America weren't actually built to last. Most of the bridges were built with the expectation that they would last about 50 years. And there were thousands and thousands of bridges built in the 1970s and 1980s. So they're coming up
like
on the end
of
their
life. They had this crazy mindset.
I don't know what it was, but man, they sure liked building bridges back then.
Somebody else will come along and make a better bridge that's way cooler than this one. So I don't know. Q-tips?
I figure they're just like, well, this will certainly last until after I'm dead. So no one's going to come sue me.
I won't die on this bridge.
So on to some terms. What is a Söderbrück?
A Söderbrück is what happens when the Coke truck tips over and causes a river.
I was going to say that's what's in Big Rock Candy Mountain, where the little streams of soda come trickling down the rocks.
That's what they call a soda jerk in Russia.
So a Söderbrück is a bridge to nowhere. And this comes from German so da, which means just there, and Brück, which is bridge. So a bridge that's just sitting there.
Isn't that just a pier at that point?
Well, it doesn't have to go out over water. It can go on land. So there's a lot of places in Germany. This is actually fairly common as far as there's a handful of bridges to nowhere in the world, but I think most of them are in Germany. So what happened is in the 1970s, there was something of an economic boom and Germany decided it wanted to expand the Autobahn, and bridges take a long time to build. So they were building the bridges before like the highway got to that road. And then there was an economic collapse and an oil crisis. So they stopped building roads, but they'd already built the bridges. So there's a bunch of places where you just drive under a bridge and it just goes about 10 feet on either side of the road and that's it.
Sweet ramps though.
Yeah. It does look like it would be really cool to get up and hang out on one of those. Just like sit up there and
be a cool kid.
Yeah.
German bridge party.
So what is an abutment?
An abutment?
I used to know this.
I mean, if something abuts something, it's up against like the back of it.
Does it?
Well, yeah.
I'm going to say it's like a keystone for your bridge.
Yeah.
It's an apartment for butts.
That's where I was going.
It's definitely something up against the bridge. I'm going to say it's what you call like the structural supports on one side of the bridge or the other.
Well, you were close. An abutment is when basically one thing touches another. It doesn't necessarily have to be the back.
Don't touch my butt.
Yeah. So an abutment is where the bridge ends. So when you're back on the road or the ground or whatever it was you were crossing over.
With John Edwards.
To the other side.
So what is a spandrel?
A Spanish scoundrel.
It's a very long cocker spaniel.
So you cross a wiener dog with a cocker spaniel?
I was also going in the I can't even say it anymore. Cocker spaniel direction. Yeah, Adam's right.
It's not a drill that you use to mine for things inside of a cocker spaniel? So a spandrel is... This is kind of hard to explain. I had to go to a couple sites before I finally sunk in what they were talking about. So you got a bridge, right? The bridge is square, and the bridge has posts going down to the ground. So it makes a box shape between the posts and the bridge and the next post. In between those posts, you have an arch, and the arch goes up one post, rounds out, connects to the bridge, rounds out again, touches the next post, and back down to the ground. In the corner of that arch, it leaves a little triangle. That triangle is called the spandrel.
How very fascinating.
I just thought it was a funny word. So that was all the quizzes that we had for today. So now we're going to tell some stories about some bridge disasters. So
who here would like to hear a story about a bridge?
These are... Thing is, there's a million bridge disasters, so I just picked a few that sort of characterize something that I thought was interesting, but if you decide you want to look into bridge disasters, it'll keep you busy all month.
You can watch people fall off of bridges all day long.
Bridges. Not actually as safe as they seem.
Yeah, well, up to a point, but, well, we'll get into it. December 15th, 1967. This is the Silver Bridge in West Virginia. It was 2,235 feet long, or 681 meters, and it was built in 1928. This was a suspension bridge, but it kind of broke the mold for suspension bridges at the time, because up until this point, suspension bridges were always built with redundancies.
Smart idea.
But this bridge, the engineers were like, man, we did such a good job designing this bridge, and it's so strong, we don't even need redundancies. It'll stand up forever.
This is the Titanic of bridges.
I was about to say it's the unsinkable bridge.
Yeah. Well, this, like I mentioned, this bridge was built in 1928, and it was for cars and foot traffic. But the thing is, in 1928, the weight of the average car was about 1,500 pounds, or 680 kilograms. But in the 1960s, the average car weighed about 4,000 pounds because we really like making cars out of steel.
Damn Buicks.
And that was about 1,800 kilograms. So almost three times the weight per car, but the same number of cars on the bridge. So it basically tripled the weight that this bridge had to deal with. So also in the 1960s, for the past 30 years, maintenance had been few and far between, and the inspections on this bridge had been a little lackadaisical.
Yeah, you looked at it. It was still there.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's certainly not on the ground. And the last guy said it was okay. What could have happened between now and then? On December 15th, 1967, the Silver Bridge, laden with rush hour traffic and foot traffic, collapsed in less than a minute. 46 people were killed in the collapse. And after the collapse, inspectors were looking through the rubble and they think they found the failure point. And there was an eye bar that had a defect that had been there all along. And it was a 0.1 inch or 2.5 millimeter deep crack. And that was what caused the bridge to collapse.
That's kind of frightening that a 0.1 inch crack causes 45 deaths.
Yeah. It was basically a line so small you'd have trouble getting your fingernail through it, and that brought down this entire bridge.
Jeez. Hey, what did you call it?
Spandrel.
Yeah, it did its best.
Yeah. I mean, in the inspector's defense, I don't know that I could have found that. You've got this bridge that's almost a half a mile long, and you're looking for a crack that's less than a tenth of an inch.
I mean, just think of all the bridges that have cracks like that right now that haven't failed.
It's true.
But all those other bridges have redundancy.
They're all safe.
Do they? This was the first bridge not to have redundancies, he said. Not the last one.
They didn't want to keep those people in suspense.
Yeah, the thing about bridges is there seems to, for a while at least, have been a habit of, like, people would come up with a really safe design, and then a few bridge makers after that would be like, that seems a little overkill. I don't think we need that, or that, or that. And then they'd trim away enough stuff until eventually one of those bridges would collapse, and they'd be like, okay, so we found the breaking point, and we got to go back a few steps.
We found the thing that's important.
Yep, so it's sort of a learning curve. So our next bridge, May 9th, 1980, the Sunshine Skyway Bridge in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Sunshine lollipops.
So this bridge was 4.4 miles long and had a drop of 180 feet. So that's 6.7 kilometers long and 55 meters tall. So this bridge was actually in pretty good shape. There wasn't anything wrong with this bridge, but it did span Tampa Bay, which is a shipping bay. So any ship that went in or out of the bay had to go underneath this bridge. So on the morning of May 9th, the 606 foot or 184 meter freighter, the MV Summit Venture, was about to pass under the bridge when a sudden blinding thunderstorm struck.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
So the gusts in this storm were, people think that they were blowing up to 70 miles an hour, and it blew this freighter off course. So the freighter, much like in a cartoon, just bumped ever so gently into one of the port columns of the bridge, and the whole thing came down. So over 1,200 feet of the bridge collapsed.
Oh, dear.
So the good news is, at that time of day, there were only actually 8 vehicles on that section of the bridge that fell into the water. The bad news is, one of those vehicles was a Greyhound bus.
Oh, God.
So of the 36 people that fell, 35 were killed.
But you're riding the bridge all the way down. Shouldn't it be safer?
It is till the bottom. So this bridge was a pretty important bridge, so they had to replace it. And when they replaced it, they put the legs further apart, which left more room for the boats to go in and out. And now each leg is surrounded with giant bumpers, and the bumpers are capable of deflecting 30 million pounds of force.
Whoa. Also, they glow and flash.
And there's a large scoreboard, and when they hit it, it goes ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it actually is kind of like that, because now that it's less of a concern, I guess the boats have become really cavalier and they bounce into these things all the damn time.
It'll be fine.
It's like, I bet you I can hit this at 50 miles an hour and it'll be okay. Watch.
Captain, that's how we got our last ship stuck around a pillar.
So our next bridge, August 1st, 2007, the I-35 West that crossed the Mississippi River in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Good old Mississippi. Yep. Sweeps away all your problems.
It certainly did.
It's a lot of M's.
Yeah. So this bridge was 1,900 feet long or 580 meters, and it had a drop of 115 feet or 35 meters. So this was a very busy bridge. It serviced 140,000 cars daily. So it was just constantly having cars running across it, and it was also a bottleneck, so it was frequently had cars just sitting on it. So this bridge put up with a lot of abuse.
What a promiscuous bridge.
So this bridge was in the middle of being repaved. So they're basically stripping off the concrete on top of the bridge and repaving it. So while they were doing this, they shut down half the bridge, and then the other half did the traffic in both ways. So this was an 8-lane bridge, so they had it shut down to 4 lanes.
This sounds terrible already.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is you only have half as many cars because the other 4 lanes are empty. Problem is, if you're mixing concrete, once you mix it, you only have about an hour before it sets. And there wasn't really a concrete place that mixed within an hour drive of this bridge. So they were mixing the concrete on site. So this is a big bridge and they've got a lot of concrete, but where are they going to put it all? Why not just put it?
Ooh, on the ground.
If only. But no, they decided to store all of the ingredients on top of the bridge. So there were 291 tons of concrete materials on top of the bridge, which is 264 metric tons. Now, this meant that the materials alone were more than four times what this bridge was capable of holding.
You'd think the people building the bridge would know the carrying capacity of the bridge.
Well, the people who built it
did. The owner's manual.
I mean, the people doing work on the bridge.
Well, they just said go out there and repave it. The other half was laden with rush hour traffic at 6:05 p.m. when the bridge suddenly collapsed with 111 vehicles and 18 construction workers on it. Yeah. Only 13 people were actually killed and 145 were injured. So all things considered, it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, no Greyhound buses on this one.
Yeah. This one, I think there was one school bus that was on the bridge, but I think the kids all made it out.
All those kids were jerks anyway.
So we've talked about bridges that fell because they had defects built into them, bridges that were hit and fell, bridges that were overloaded and fell. And now we're going to talk about a bridge that was brought down by sheer arrogance.
Oh,
fun.
Yeah. So August 29th, 1907, that's when this happened. But what the events leading up to this, Quebec needed a bridge. So they were looking for someone to build a bridge across their channel. And a bunch of people were coming to make bids to build the bridge, essentially. In construction, you have people come out, they conduct a survey, they submit a proposal, and then you pick your favorite proposal, and that's the one you go with. One of the people that was part of the proposals was a man named Theodore Cooper. And Theodore Cooper was sort of an all-star bridge engineer. And he was getting pretty close to retirement, and he thought
It's 2 days away from retirement.
Well, he thought this bridge would be his crowning jewel. Like, he's going out with a bang. This is going to be the bridge to end all bridges. So he's really gung-ho about building this bridge.
I don't know if you want a showboating bridge designer.
Yeah, turns out you don't. But
your all-star starting lineup of bridge designers.
So he teams up with the Phoenix Bridge Company, and both the Phoenix Bridge Company and Mr. Cooper are based out of New York, and they travel up to this place and they say, hey, here's the deal. We will do a survey, submit a proposal, and come up with a plan at no charge to you, which is pretty unusual. They say, as long as we get to build the bridge. So they submit their proposal for free. But the people reviewing the proposals know that if they decide not to go with this plan, they're going to have to pay them for all the work they've already done. So they, lo and behold, they decide to go with the Phoenix Bridge Company plan.
I don't know if it counts as a proposal at that point.
Yeah, they were sort of holding the plan's ransom. But they do decide to go with them. And as I mentioned, they were based in New York. This bridge is in Quebec. But the bridge company and Cooper decided that they didn't really need to be in Quebec. So Cooper pretty much decides he's going to build a bridge by post.
Literally phoning it in.
Yeah. Sending only, in napkins with little scribbles on the bottom.
If only they had phones back in the late 1800s. So Cooper is a pretty arrogant guy, and he decides that he doesn't need to have any of his work reviewed. He claimed that having any of his work reviewed would put him on the same level as a subordinate, and he couldn't have that.
Can I use that excuse at school?
It'd make me just like one of these many peons surrounding me.
Especially that guy.
Math peon.
So yeah, he's pretty much every aspect of this bridge is planned, reviewed, and signed off by Cooper, and no one else gets to have any say in it.
Hmm.
Oh, for living in a time when they didn't have required government oversight.
Yeah. So they get to work on this bridge, and as the construction begins, they start to notice, well, first of all, Cooper's blueprints listed this as the heaviest bridge of this type that had ever been built. So a lot of people just looking at the blueprints were like, I don't think this bridge would work. It's too friggin' heavy. So they start building it, and they notice that as they're building it, it's even heavier than Cooper anticipated it being.
Of course.
So this is brought to Cooper's attention. He comes out and takes a look at it, and he just says, "Bah, that's fine," and goes back to New York.
This is my grand work. It will be the heaviest bridge.
70-year-old retiree squinting at the bridge going, looks okay to me.
So there was a chief engineer on site that sort of reported back to Cooper. And as the support columns were starting to go in, he was noticing that they were bowing. And so he brought this to Cooper's attention, and Cooper came and looked at it and said, I'm sure they just came from the foundry like that. They were pre-bowed when you put them up there.
Yeah, they're meant to be like that.
It's an aesthetic choice. He says this, but the engineer on site decides to take some measurements. And then a few weeks later, he takes some more measurements and found that the bow was getting larger. And at this point, the bridge isn't even done yet. It's just starting to reach out over the channel. So this is a very serious problem. So he tells everybody to stop working and hops on a train and goes down to talk to Cooper. So he shows up at Cooper's office the next day and talks to him about it. And Cooper finally is like, okay, we'll go get the people from the Phoenix Bridge Company and we'll all go out there and we'll take a look at this bowing that you're on about.
You're so stupid, Jeremy.
So they hop on another train and go over to the Phoenix Bridge Company, have a conversation with them, spend the day there. They decide to go out the next day. So they all get together the next day and head back up to Quebec. So at this point, it's been about 3 days since the engineer left Quebec. But while he was gone, everybody decided that they just wanted to keep on working. So on the third day when they get back, they show up at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and everybody's working on the bridge. And they're like, what the hell? You guys weren't supposed to be working. And they say, should we tell them to stop? And they say, it's almost the end of the day anyway. Just let them finish out the day and they can stop tomorrow. So at 5:30 that day, the bridge failed catastrophically and collapsed into a heap in about 15 seconds.
Ooh.
The cacophony was heard 6 miles away, and 75 of the 86 workers that were on the bridge were killed.
Oh, Lord.
And the rest learned a valuable lesson about following instructions.
Yeah.
Well, that's the weirdest thing. Okay, guys, take a couple days off. Screw you. Did Mr. Cooper at least feel bad?
You know, I tried to find out how he responded to all this, but I really couldn't find anything. Needless to say, he never got another job. But
he retired the next day.
Yeah. My crown jewel, that heap of metal.
You hear the bridge collapsing, you look over at him, and all of a sudden, it's an outline of him holding blueprints that are wafting down to the ground.
Dollar bills flying away in the breeze. Yep, that was all the stories that I felt worth telling. Anybody have any personal stories about bridges?
I've been across several that have tolls, and I didn't know they had tolls, so you gotta... like, going into San Francisco, bridges. All of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, does anybody carry cash? Anyone at all?
Yeah, I really don't know why toll bridges don't accept debit cards. It seems
don't
like...
they know?
Well, maybe they do. I don't know. Last time I went over some, they didn't. And, it's like even vending machines take credit cards now. Why not you, government agency?
Yeah, the bridges out here are pass only.
Yeah. You either pay ahead of time or they send you a bill in the mail.
Oh,
that's fun.
Yeah.
Significantly more if they have to bill you, though.
See, and that's another thing. Is like you could just have an app on the phone. You wave it at the the thing and you go. Nope.
That's basically how it works out here.
Anybody have $6 in quarters?
Yeah. Well, out here in Seattle, I used to live in a place where I had to cross one of the bridges every day to get to work. And Seattle, much like San Francisco, frequently has fog. And in really dense fog, there were some mornings when I'd be driving and I was like, you know what? If the bridge was out, I don't think I'd even know. I'd just drive off into oblivion like all these other people. But I always assured myself by looking at the oncoming traffic that they had to be coming from somewhere.
That's true. That's a good
point. No, the hole's only on your side.
Yeah, it's not impossible.
I mean, it's entirely possible.
We have a couple bridges here because Seattle's just all bridges. You can't get downtown without going over a bridge. And a couple of them are really low. They're on the water.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's kind of weird because like it causes the water to be different on the two sides of the bridge. So it'll be choppy on one side and perfectly calm on the other. And when it, like, when the weather's bad, the bridge just gets swamped.
Yeah. Mm. Doesn't take much.
We have a couple bridges in Reno that just, like, it's at the south side of town where the river goes through, and almost every spring or winter when the water, like when the river level rises, they have to remind people, please don't go in that river. You will, like, if you don't drown, you will hit your head on the bridge because the river is very high.
All right. Well, if no one has any personal stories about bridge disasters, I will ask you to open the picture I sent you a little bit earlier.
Hmm. That woman is very brave.
So, what you are looking at is the Husseini Hanging Bridge, which goes over Borat Lake in Pakistan. I couldn't find any measurements for this bridge because my guess is no one wants to walk out there with one of their hands full of a tape measure. But looking at Google Maps, I'm guessing it's about 500 feet long.
Looks pretty long.
Yeah. So to describe this picture a little bit, well, if you imagine the bridge from the Indiana Jones movie, it kind of looks like that. It's just a bunch of ropes with some oddly shaped, uneven planks sort of going across the ropes at the bottom.
Occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. Some of the gaps are maybe 2 or 3 feet that you've got to step between planks.
It also looks like it's tied to another bridge.
Yeah, so that right next to it, that's the old bridge. That one collapsed. So they had to build a new one.
We leave it as a reminder.
Yeah. So my question is, how much would I have to pay you to cross this bridge?
I will say it looks like you'd survive.
Yeah, depending on the time of year, because if you look at the background of the picture, that stuff up at the top, that's ice.
Ah.
So the water is probably very, very cold. And if you look at where she's headed, it's to a cliff. So there's no easy way to get out of the water once you're into it. But certainly you're not going to like go over a waterfall or something. If you can get to shore and get out, you'll probably be okay, provided you don't die of hypothermia on the way.
I have friends waiting in a boat.
I don't know. I do have a thing with heights.
Yeah.
It doesn't look all that high, though.
Yeah, it's actually not.
Yeah, but you can see through the thing you're walking on over the height.
You can see every step you shouldn't take.
And it's not like you can do that thing where you're like, don't look down, just continue forward, because you have to figure out where you can put your feet.
I mean, sure, the other bridge collapsed that's still right next to it, but all the ropes are still up.
It's true.
But some of them are frayed.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel pretty confident on this bridge, because even if, like, the board beneath me snaps, I'm still going to have a hold of the ropes.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I'm a weak man. I won't be able to pull myself up.
The sad thing is the broken bridge looks sturdier.
Yeah, like, those looks like there's more boards planks on that one.
Well, that was their problem. They're too heavy.
Yeah, it's their safety hubris.
It was weighed down with all these superfluous planks.
I'm going to say, like, $1,500.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, $100.
Yeah.
Goodness, you
yeah,
people.
Yeah, but I also have to buy new pants after I poop and pee them.
How expensive are your pants?
I'm getting really nice pants.
They're the gift shop pants on the other side that say, I crossed the Husseini Hanging Bridge.
Just says it over the butt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In sequins.
I think I'm going to die. So that's going to increase my price significantly.
Just drag your body along, just like a crawl all the way across.
It just gets splintered all the way across.
Through.
I don't think there's anything that if you were lying down, you could slip through.
I don't know. I'm pretty talented.
I once went bouldering with my husband, and I got to the top of the rock, which is only like 8 feet off the ground, and I froze up and could not go the rest of the way up to get off the rock. So I had to climb back down, and I could not make my body do anything else but that. I have a feeling if I were on this bridge, I'd be in a lot of situations where I could not make my brain make my body do the thing I needed it to do.
I just take some NyQuil before you go out there. It'll calm me down.
That'll make it safe.
$200,000.
Oh, man.
Wow. I think I'm going to get this job, guys.
Free crossing job. Yeah.
Let's see. I haven't actually even really thought about this. I don't know. It does look kind of fun. Like, I think I'd, I don't know, try and like reach up and grab the top ropes and just go without using my feet on the planks at all.
You're also the sort of person that'd be like, I bet I can make it across this thing really fast.
Sean and I are very different people in some ways.
I just go along the bottom and just, you know, spider crawl underneath the planks. What'd you say, Adam, $100?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that for $100. No sweat.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to be able to afford the pants.
Gentle listeners, please do not pay my husband $100 to cross this bridge.
I mean, I got $100 right now.
Are you going to pay me to cross that bridge?
Well, you pay for the flight over.
I was going to say, you going to fly me to Pakistan?
Can you fly to Pakistan?
It's not under my own power.
Currently. All right. Well, I think that's all we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.